The Money Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
If it wasn't so serious, it would be very funny. Well, actually, it is very funny. Somebody, I don't know who, but on social media has done the thing of a picture of Cyril Ramaphosa and a lettuce. It tickles my funny bone. It is that kind of relief you get in the jump cut in the horror movie where you are, and you get a big fright, and then you giggle to yourself and you go, well, that was silly. But as Liz Truss, and it was the Daily Star newspaper, I think, in the UK, came up with the idea first. So whoever did it, it's not original, but it's still funny. Had Liz Truss and the lettuce, and the lettuce outlasted Liz Truss. The implication, of course, that Cyril Ramaphosa would not outlast the lettuce. At one stage today, it certainly looked like Cyril Ramaphosa was going to capitulate. It looked like he was going to go, you know what? Actually, stuff this. I have enough money. Even if the rand goes to a quadrillion to one, I will have enough money. Damn you guys. And off we go. Something has happened today where he's not capitulated. Because the presidency has apologized for creating the impression. There was clearly a plan for an 8 p.m. statement. And for whatever reason, he's decided not to do it. Is he going to tough it out? Is he going to brave it out? Is he going to stand up at the NEC? Is he going to run the risk of being humiliated? Well, there's fighting the old guy yet. Personal finance brought to you by Toyota Financial Services. Toyota Financial Services, an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply. I don't want to obsess about Cyril Ramaphosa and the ifs, buts and maybes. We've done enough about that this evening, Warren Ingram. But certainly we need to look at the money implications. I mean, today on the markets, sheer and utter bedlam in financials, sheer and utter bedlam in retail. Great boom for anything with a rand hedge element. What's your reading of where we find ourselves from a money perspective as the ANC does its very best to implode itself to self-destruction?
I think we should treat this as any other political shock to investors. And just, you know, the lesson here is, firstly, that as we've seen just with, you know, an 8 o'clock announcement, that any kind of imminent prediction can be and often will be horribly wrong, and so, you know, if you're an investor trying to kind of make, you know, make your financial future for the next decade or two or three, you know, frankly, what happens over the next hour or day or week is actually going to be kind of almost insignificant, provided you don't kind of do anything really silly. And anything really silly in a situation like this is, you know, take a forecast from an economist who, you know, says, well, you know, I can link the weak rand to the current political and in noise and that's bad. Well, you know, sure, well done. You know, that's what economists do. They link things to each other. But unfortunately, it means absolutely nothing to your investment decisions for the next decade. So you've got to ignore a lot of what's going on. And yes, you know, as a South African, you know, we want political stability, we want political growth and economic growth and all of those things. But as an investor, you've got to switch off all of the emotions, if possible, and try and kind of go down to your most rational being and say, this is incredible noise. And truthfully, no one knows exactly what's going on. You know, maybe even the president doesn't really know what he's going to do until he's got more feedback. Who knows? But the reality is, anyone prognosticating now about how this is going to unfold, and if they're doing it with massive confidence, they're the charlatan, not you. You know, you're the investor. You've got to look after your money. You've got to make the right decisions for you. And experience tells us when things are as crazy as they are right now, very often the absolute best thing to do is nothing. The best thing to do is sit on your hands, let this play out. If you get really bad news, whatever your version of bad news is about how this situation unfolds and the rand implodes, let's say it goes to 19 or 20 to the dollar tomorrow or next week, who knows what it will do. I think you need to understand that markets always overreact. Investors, or let's say speculators, always overreact. And so it might blow out to 21. I have absolutely no idea. But what I also know is it will blow out too far and then it will swing back again. And then markets and investors will start to absorb this news, start to digest it properly, and then try and put realistic valuations on whatever the situation is. And that's the point where you can start to make sensible investment decisions. And very possibly you've got a good strategy now And whatever happens in the next few days doesn't change that strategy. You know, I think that, and that's the reality of a good strategy. It should deal with big shocks. It should be able to accommodate political noise. We've been down this road before. I can remember talking to you, Bruce, about the weekend special, you know, and reactions.
I've were never terrible. Heard you more gloomy than that night. It was December. It was the day after the day before. So it would have been December. It was 9/12, so the 9th of December. It would be the 10th of December 2015, where you came on and sounded like Lord slit my wrist. You were so gloomy. It was, and you've not, and I think you learned from that experience that actually emotion doesn't help in that time, because you were really upset by it, as we all were, at the rampant stupidity. And the carelessness and the recklessness of Jacob Zuma in that moment.
Exactly, and I think you know, I think this is this might be a similar level of emotion for very different reasons, and that is true. You're hitting the nail on the head. I am learning from that, and you know, while as a South African, I'm struggling with this like everyone else is, and you know, my wife and I are commiserating over a cup of tea and kind of, you know, wondering what our future looks like. But as an investor, I have learned a lesson from that. And, you know, and one of them is, you know, when we're behind this microphone, we have a responsibility not to tell lies. I mean, we have to tell the truth, but equally to kind of be the barometer for people to say, hang on, this too shall pass. And we cannot get kind of overhyped and over emotive about something where actually good logic and reason will do much more for investors than emotion and hype and, you know, build up kind of the emotions around this just to get excitement. You know, I think excitement here is hugely dangerous. This is the money show. We've got to be the ones saying, okay, this is lousy, and we will absorb it and we will deal with it. And truthfully, you know, if it's me, I'm not going to listen to the prognosticators. I'm not listening to the economists that are saying they were really, really, really worried about this. They've got to say that, you know, that they're on an interview. They can't just say, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. They're going to give an opinion, but truthfully, they don't know. And we need to kind of just stay the course. If we're investors, stick to our strategy, don't get emotional and be angry, you know, and go and hit the boxing bag or something, but don't push sell on your investments at absolutely the worst moment. You know, then you become part of the kind of statistic, the herd.
Let me be a little meaner to you then, because, you know, I like it this time of the year just to twist the knife a little bit. So don't do anything radical when it comes to your investments. But let's say you've got, you know, you've been offshoring some money. And every year you can use R1 million, your discretionary allowance, and you had a holiday and you bought some stuff on Amazon and you've got R200,000 you could still utilize as your offshore, this discretionary allowance. You could do anything you like with it. You can put it into one of the global accounts that the banks have got, or you can send it offshore and put it in Jersey or put it in anywhere you like. Do you do it? Do you utilize that offshore allowance, or do you say, you know what, I'm not going to use my entire offshore allowance because this currency thing is just a little bit wild for me right now? What's the thought on that?
The perspective is that you know, I'm listening with a little bit of amusement about how people are saying the rand's absolutely blown out. You know, it's moved out 3%. For goodness sakes, it's 3%.
3% against the dollar, 5% against the euro, 7% against the pound. Yeah, I mean, different ones.
Okay. 3%, because let's say we're talking about a global portfolio. It's 3% against the dollar. Wow. You know, that's a move. I'm not dismissing it, but global markets are down more than 20% and they represent fantastic value. So 3%, losing a bit on the rand now versus the 20% buying opportunity. That's the logical thing to do is take advantage, because what you're going to buy on the other side is representing good value. You know, so that to me is kind of still a rational thing. It's not a knee jerk reaction to say, well, you know, let me draw money out of my credit card and, you know, let's get a personal loan. This is disposable capital that you've got lying around, you know, where you haven't got a debt problem, et cetera, then by all means do that as part of a strategy where you've been doing it over time because you've been listening to the money show. But, you know, don't do it now when you go and, you know, kind of sell your car and borrow money from the loan shark next door to do it. That's not the smart thing to do.
Okay, good. Then let's talk about investments and how they might grow. I mean, I use the term how they might grow, or how they will grow, because over time, And again, the history books are wonderful on this particular sense. Investments do grow in value. Inflation does its work and money devalues. And so the value of investments generally, if you invest in good businesses and long-term prospects in good economies, well, you know, that's you should see gains over periods of time. So how does money grow?
I thought it was a great. I mean, it was a great topic for tonight before the most recent news, and maybe even more so now.
I'm being a bit mean, and I'm throwing this curveball at you. Let me pause for a moment and give you a moment to ponder the answer.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield is brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking, the sole sustainability coordinators of SAPI's recent 2 billion rand 5-year sustainability-linked revolving credit facility. The bravery to imagine, that's Africanacity. Absa is a registered FSP.
The Money Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
So let me word it slightly differently. In principle, based on history, how do investments tend to grow, Warren?
So it's the question most investors will ask. You know, if I invest my money, you know, what should I expect from my investments over time? And so I looked at what are the main things that people buy as investments? And I think probably break them down into kind of five broad categories. So in South Africa, you know, people who don't really like risk and big swings in their investments, they would generally buy, you know, fairly low risk balanced investments. In the unit trust world, they'd be called cautious funds. And over a 20-year period, right up until the end of October, those have done about just over 9% a year. And if we consider what's happened over the last 20 years, I think it's a fairly typical time, you know, some good times, some bad times, some horrific times. And so if you're out there looking for kind of just low risk, but, you know, a decent capital growth, then that's probably your number, just over 9% a year. In a context where inflation is probably running at 6% a year, that means you're beating inflation by about 3, which, you know, when I do these numbers over, you know, 50 to kind of 60 years, that's a pretty representative number. And then I think the bulk of retirement funds in South Africa, lots of people's RAs would generally be invested in balanced unit trusts. Those are investments that have about 2/3 in shares. And they're delivering just under 12%. So kind of, let's say 11.5% a year over a 20-year period. And I think that's a very typical kind of expectation for the next decade or three as well. And then if you're investing purely in shares, you know, let's say you're young and you've got to get the capital growth that you need to kind of fund your retirement and get that head start, then the stock market, with everything that we've had with the lost decade and all that stuff that's happened in our recent history, you're getting around 12.5% a year for the last 20 years. And again, just, you know, as context, that's more than 6% a year above inflation. That's real growth of 6. That's a really good number. But by the same token, the global...
This idea of like 12% a year, it sounds very nice. It doesn't feel like very much. But when you look at it being 6% better than inflation over 20 years, the compounding effect of that 6% outperformance over inflation is absolutely enormous.
Your money, I mean, I haven't done that exact sum, but just if I had to do a thumb suck, I think you probably find your money's tripled over that time. Yeah. And not tripled above inflation, but certainly tripled. And that's really good going, you know, when you're doing nothing in terms of labor, you're not putting effort into that. You know, you're just sitting back and letting it do its thing. That's a lovely growth rate to get. And just think about all the stuff that's happened. You know, that's a financial crisis. It's, you know, the weekend special, Zuma at his best, all of that's in there, the COVID crash. And that's the return that you're getting with all the kind of angst that everyone else had, you know, doing nothing and just buying, you know, the stock market, you know, that's the return that you've got. I think it's a heck of a return. And in contrast, when you look at the global stock market in South Africa, so in other words, take the global markets, but price it in rands. Very interesting to note that the global market is underperforming the SA market over that same time frame, just under 10%, around 9.5% a year over that same time frame. So interesting that, you know, this kind of run to offshore when things get scary in South Africa doesn't always work. And in fact, you know, 3% a year over 20 years, that's a big loss.
It's so interesting because I was going to point out to you just for November, and I know it's a very short term view, just for November, which did better? The S&P 500, this is in dollar terms, the JSE Top 40 or the S&P 500 in November?
Well, to give credit, I'm following Skulk Lowe, I think, on Twitter, and he did that number, and I think the JSE smashed it.
It most certainly did. In US dollars, the top 40 returned 17%, more than three times the S&P 500's 5%. It's just mind-boggling. Just how anecdotal the stuff can be, but just how powerful it can be as well. Warren Ingram, I'm going to let you go. We do have a question from Lily, which I'm going to hold over to next week, and who wants to talk about retirement plans and all of that sort of stuff. So let's pause on that one for a second, chat about it next week. Hopefully things are a little bit calmer, a little bit clearer, and a little bit more steady than they've been for the last 24 hours. Warren Ingram, personal finance expert. He is an advisor, and he's also a director at Galileo Capital.